Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And this is the section about EU days. It's for the 15th of July. And the 15th of July is a very important day. It's about peace in Cyprus, Cyprus to be a NATO member and to make sure the island is united in the European Union. And that's the ambition. Unfortunately, as you know, Cyprus is divided today. It's not in NATO and it's only theoretically completely in the European Union because only the Republic, the southern Cyprus, if you want, is a member of the European Union. And there is this breakaway republic, northern Cyprus, recognized only by Turkey. And it's one of the protracted and open wounds in Europe. And it has to be settled now. We are now in 2021. I think it's time to settle the Cyprus issue. And the 15th of July should always be a reminder how long that is already open, since 74. And in fact, to be honest, already much longer, because I will talk also about the history of this beautiful island. But first, let me make a declaration. It's really beautiful. I personally have been in Cyprus, in Nicosia, and in many of the coastal towns in the south. And I have also been to the Turkish part of Cyprus. I crossed myself also. At the moment, it's already demantled, but there was a wall, and there was a real kind of mini Berlin wall in the center of Nicosia. You had to show your passport. You had to be guided through. It was really quite terrible. The other side, much less developed in the times when I was there in the 90s or early 2000s. And it was very, very different. Now I think the situation is much calmer. But still, there is, despite several efforts, there is no peace settlement. There is no lasting moment. And I record also this podcast because, again, there is now plans for another resumption of talk. Obviously, the hope is with a new American president, with a new European Parliament already, we are already since 2019, but the situation is there is basically in both places and also with Brexit, maybe there is momentum for change. Maybe there is an opportunity for a reset with Turkey. Many people hope that. I hope that as well. And the Cyprus issue could maybe be one of the crystallizing points for a settlement with Turkey, with the NATO, with the West. And that is the hope. But let me come to the fundamentals. What happened in history at that day of the 15th of July, 74? And it was basically a Greek-inspired coup d'etat against the elected president of Cyprus, the Archbishop Makarios. He's a religious man, a priest, an Orthodox priest. He was the obvious leader of the Greek Cypriot. He was then the independence leader, and he was basically no longer opportune for the Greeks, for the Greek extremist nationalist backed by the junta who wanted the so-called enosis. Enosis is a Greek word for union, the Anschluss. That was the idea of the Greek military nationalists and the leaders in Athens and their proxies in Cyprus. They wanted to have the Anschluss. Makarios was in the way and he had to be removed, and actually the British flew him out of Cyprus. His life was in danger and he escaped and he was saved, but he died then in 77 later then. He's definitely the father of Cypriot independence, whereas he was also clearly the Greek Cypriot. He had in 63 started, only in 60 the independence came from the British, and then in 63 he already started to dismantle the concept of, how can I say, the equality and Western developed kind of a modern state, which the British have insisted to develop. He was already changing this kind of quota system, which the British left. And he is not uncontroversial. But his removal has to be understood very well, and this kind of coup d'etat against him in this total instability in which Greece was in the 70s. Since this military coup d'etat of 67, and anyhow the junta then broke down because their kind of brinkmanship was extremely toxic. Yeah? And Cyprus was ultimately at this moment at the high point of the Cold War in the most terrible phase of the West, another crisis which really the West couldn't afford. And this brinkmanships of the Greeks generals didn't have support from the West, and they didn't back it. And anyhow, everything was falling down, and there was the restoration of democracy in Athens with some intermediate steps, and Karamanlis was brought back to sort things out, and then Greece was also integrated in the European Union. But that didn't help Cyprus very much, because as a response to this Greek-inspired coup and the flight of Makarios, and then it was the 5 days later the Operation Attila, the code name for the first landing, the first invasion of Turkey into the north of Cyprus. And then later came the second invasion, where basically the Turks have occupied ever since one third of the island, and it's the more fertile one. It's the lower flatlands in the north, the ones with more economic potential. Obviously, Turkey and Cyprus is very much about tourism today. But the agriculture industrial potential which was there was in the north, and that was occupied by the Turks. And it's also, in a way, has to be understood out of the context of the Cold War, because Turkey was a very strong NATO ally, there's no doubt about it. And Makarios was also seeing neutrality, friendship with other Orthodox nations. He was definitely an anti-communist, but he was also going to the foundation of the non-aligned movement, trying to be soft on his own communists in Greece. And the Greek communists were also a powerful force, so were the Cypriot Greek Communist Party, and it still is, unfortunately. And this kind of historic links within the Orthodoxy also played a role, and he was not seen very reliable in the Western world, unfortunately. And so it all escalated into this kind of also not stopping the Turks. I think they didn't need a lot of encouragement, but they have also not been stopped, and the only one to stop would have been obviously the American Sixth Navy in the Mediterranean. But in the context of the situation, this was definitely not happening. Now we are in the mess. And let me also make the statement that both sides are here to blame, because the Greeks, with having the majority, were obviously thinking more on the kind of systems which we have seen around the First World War. There was also the Greek majority in Cyprus very much thinking about ethnic cleansing, ethnic violence, getting the whole island for them. There's no doubt about it. Yeah? There was not this kind of modern understanding of a state. Yeah? The idea was to bring it back back. Actually, it was never in Greece. Yeah? Let's be honest. It was an Ottoman colony, which was by the whole world lived in Cyprus, mostly Greek, but there's well a lot of Turks and everybody else from the Middle East and from the Mediterranean. And so the idea of Enosis was definitely to bring not back, because it was never, I said, historic times in Greece, but Greece became independent and Crete. And it was basically at the same Congress I've already talked many times about the Berlin Congress, where basically Cyprus was brought under British dominion, like the Austrians got Bosnia, and then it was the independence of Romania, Serbia and Montenegro agreed in Berlin by Bismarck and the powers, and the British insisted on getting Cyprus, obviously because of the closeness of the Suez Canal, and also the Middle East and these important strategic assets. And to this day, actually, which is well not well known, but to this day, the United Kingdom has a kind of similar situation, not exactly similar, but like Gibraltar, and they have also two big military bases in the south of Cyprus, and they are huge territories, in fact, and not only military bases, but these are significant chunks of the islands in the south center and in the southeast, which are major NATO installations. That has also been to be seen. And, you know, in the context how the things were done around the First World War, with ethnic violence, population exchanges, and the logical thing would have been partition and population exchange. Obviously, in the context of the Cold War 50 years later, it was, first of all, the West could not really countenance any kind of this ethnic violence anymore, because our society has developed. The Second World War has happened, yeah, and all these events, and also the change in attitudes. So the Greeks under Makarios, or the Cypriots under Makarios and their policy, could not find support. And also what the what happened there, this kind of escalation, has not had a lot of support by the West, and deservedly so. So it's a bit of a messy situation. And I'm really sorry for everything that happened, because it was a very brutal fight and battle for these islands in 74. But before already a lot of ethnic violence, and afterwards as well. And we have a real mess here. But, and here comes the good news. Besides, you know, all the tragedies of history, we have to focus on the future. And my podcast is about peace. Yeah? What kind of peace settlement we can do today in the year 2021 about Cyprus, that the people, because ultimately it's about the inhabitants, that they live better, they live in security, they live at European levels of prosperity, and also aligned with European regulations as the basis of that one. So that's my thinking. And I had a lot of Twitter exchanges today about this one, because of the start of the UN-sponsored negotiations and the so-called 5+1 talks. And here comes my point. You know, why is this a UN mission to make peace in Cyprus? We have a war in Yemen, in Myanmar, it's a crisis, in Sudan, in Syria, in Ethiopia. Please, the UN can really take care very well about global conflicts in complicated regions. Cyprus is a member of the European Union. Greece and Turkey and the United Kingdom are all members of NATO. So we have everybody involved in that issue is a NATO or EU member. And we are adults now. We are in 2021. We are no longer in this extreme situation of decolonization crises, Second World War, 1960s or 74. We are much more advanced as the Western world. I think so, and I'm confident. And the UN is an organization where also Russia and China is with a veto power. So basically involving the UN in European conflicts, I think it's totally wrong, if we can avoid it. And why do we need basically indirectly having the Russians and the Chinese for the settlement of the Cypriot issues, which is basically a conflict in one island about the political system, but also between Greece and Turkey, because ultimately it's a proxy war between these two NATO powers. We have avoided conflict between these arch enemies since 52, when both were basically by the US invited and fast-tracked into NATO. But the proxy war in Cyprus took place in the chaos of the Greek junta, and also then with the Turkish response to it. And my question is, why the UN? And I call actually not to have the UN involved. There's many other things Mr. Guterres and his peacemakers can take care, and because they cannot, because we have actually war in Syria, actually war in Sudan, a big crisis in Myanmar, in Yemen a complete mess, and in Ethiopia, and we have a crisis with Iran and so many other things. And they should also be obviously in eastern Ukraine or in Crimea. There's so much to do for the UN. But why to settle that one now? No, this must be a Prespa-style European NATO affair. And this is the format for the talks. Like in Prespa, that is the peace process for North Macedonia. There must be a NATO co-managed process, because this is basically our internal issue. Because Cyprus is in the political union, the European Union. So it's our concerns with our defense alliance to find a settlement. And so get the UN out of Cyprus. This has to be Europeanized. The UN assets have to be transferred towards the European Union. This is the first thing. And the military has to be provided by NATO in this demarcation line, and no longer by the UN. So the UN must leave Cyprus. The UN must also and not longer lead these peace talks. It's an EU-NATO affair. There's the US, the UK, and there is Turkey, and there is Greece, and there is Cyprus. And the European Union, obviously. Because we are in a unity, in a political union with Cyprus. So let's discuss now how the settlement can be. Obviously, you know, since 74, everybody, and even before, everybody talks about a federation. The question is, what kind of federation? The question, what kind of future we envisage? Because, and here I will very clearly say what I want and what I propose. And I remember I was myself in a political event sitting when Genscher was still alive, and he was talking about Germany as a role model, as a divided country, for divided Cyprus to join the European Union. And so it happened. But also German unification is the role model for the Cypriot unification. And here it's quite logically. And this the Republic as a federal state, not a unitary state, but it is a state of its constituent regions, like in the United States, like the federal states of the United States, like in Germany with the 16 states, like in Austria, 9 states. I propose also, and they are basically already there, so it's not about proposing, but they need to be empowered, and it needs to be a system with 9 regions, 9 federal states of the Republic, the Free Republic of Cyprus, and then it's basically 5 in the south, in the current Republic, and 3 in the region and Nicosia. That's basically 9. I think I'm correct, yeah? And of course, Nicosia is a region in the center. It's a northern Nicosia, southern Nicosia, maybe to find a better name. Famagusta in the east, northern Famagusta, southern Famagusta. So basically, not a lot will change. Yeah? But just and Nicosia to break out of this as a capital, like we have it in Vienna, to be just a city as a region. So that's basically 9, if I'm not wrong. I think I counted it correctly. And these 9 regions to form a second chamber, this like a U.S. Senate. And each one then can be discussion about population or just with 2 seats. And this is the second chamber, which has also the same rights like a normal House of Representatives or Parliament. Yeah? And so it's a bicameral system. And then you have a one president, one vice president, and you also have a prime minister, like it would be normal. And to have a real kind of German-style, Austrian-style constitution based on the American model. We have not so much power for the second chamber. In the Cypriot federal system, it would be necessary to have a very strong second chamber, also to avoid one community to really impose its will on the other community, and to make a modern European federal state out of Cyprus. And this must be then, I think, wonderfully accepted by both sides. I think it would be really wrong to go into the direction of independence, which the new president is thinking about from this president of the Northern Cypriot Republic or community. He is talking about that very strongly, but it would lead actually to never be in the EU, and not being in NATO, being a total non-recognized statelet like it is at the moment, nobody will recognize that. And beside Russia and China, we will import a lot of conflicts again in the EU, and that is utter nonsense. And it's just in the Russian interest, something like that. So no, and obviously this federal state also to join NATO and to be inside our alliance as a full member. And also the North, obviously, in the same model like the GDR has joined the Western German state. And then it was immediately in NATO, in the Euro, and later then first in the Mark and then in the Euro, and also in the EU. So I think that's a very attractive offer for the residents. It's 300,000 people living in the north of Cyprus. They will be immediately EU citizens. They will immediately have the euro. They will be immediately in NATO, where also their probably and protector nation Turkey is also in NATO. So I think they will live very safely and securely based on European law. All their property will be protected, and all their rights. They will have the euro as a currency. They will also be assisted, obviously, with social cohesion funds and with all the instruments we have in the European Union. And also they will be traveling freely with European passports. I think that's quite an attractive offer. And everybody will invest in this beautiful part of the island. And also nobody has to leave that island. That would be obvious as well, that everybody who is now 2020, 21, resident there, so no kind of fantasies of returning some colonialists and so. No. The people who are there, and then they will be all Europeanized, as we do it, yeah, in all aspects. So such a settlement should be very attractive for the Turkish Cypriots and also for the Greek Cypriots, because the island will be united. Obviously, there will be a mechanism for the return of properties legally for the long term, but there will be no reconquista or something like that, which maybe also some people dream of. But no, this is the way we do it in the euro, in the EU, in NATO, and that's very logical. And the federal system is what we have in Austria and Germany. Obviously, it might be necessary to adopt it a bit, but not a federal system where you have two states, like in Bosnia. No, that was totally wrong. That's a wrong federalism. You need to have 9 federal states, which are part of one federation. There can be obviously a president and a vice president, also according to the two major communities. Fine, yeah, that is also the US has a president and a vice president. But I'm against this ethnic kind of denominations of positions. This will be anyhow quite logically that there will always be a tandem, but not written in the constitution, one from the Turk, one from the... No. No ethnic denominations in such a modern constitution. That's very wrong. So that's it should be... Cyprus must be a completely normal EU member state. Yes, like Belgium. You can say Belgium is also not perfect. Yeah, okay, good. You know, not everything is perfect in the world. Yeah, but we have also Macedonia, which will be very soon member. It's also complicated. Yeah, we have also Austria. It's also complicated. We have many. We have also Spain. Is also complicated. Yeah, but federalism and in modern institutions and constitutions are the settlement inside our structures. We don't need the UN for that. We need just to do it as in my podcast here. You know, we don't need to go to Genf. We go to Brussels where the EU sits. We go to Brussels where NATO sits. And Cyprus is already there. And then when there is a lot of oil and gas around, much the better, because all this will cost a lot. So if Cypriots get very rich and also everybody benefits, fine, yeah. And if it's a Turkish company which gets this contract, it's also good, yeah. So let's get a little bit serious and more dynamic in this agenda, because it's not that we need the Russians and the Chinese to solve our problems. They can also invest. And actually, the Russians should invest maybe a little bit less in money laundering and offshoring in Cyprus. And the Cypriots should also start to take our regulations against money laundering seriously and implement it seriously as well. So what we can give Turkey for such a peace? You know, obviously, you know, Turkey is also interested in the Balkans. That's what I say all the time. It's important also Macedonia in NATO, also in the EU, Albania in the EU. That's also important. Montenegro, that's also important for Turkey. I think that will be very clear signals understood in Ankara. It's also important to have a settlement where we align our interests in the Southern Caucasus, because it's very important if Georgia comes to NATO. That will matter very much for Turkey. And we should also consider if we, not in the light of the recent events in Armenia and Azerbaijan and the war, maybe we should also consider to repeat the painful but necessary thing when we basically integrated also Azerbaijan in NATO. It's also an option. Turkey and Greece were not always beautiful democracies. Also Portugal was not. So maybe a very close strategic partnership maybe first, but also Azerbaijan should be maybe also secured by the West more clearly. And that would help, first of all, to get Russia out of the Southern Caucasus, but also I think it should be something where the Turks should be interested to have also this kind of security and opportunities attached for the Azeris, yeah. And obviously not on the cost of the Armenians, you know, but they will also hopefully then gradually move towards a more Western orientation and to get the Russia out of the Southern Caucasus. Hooray! And that's very important. And the same alignment we should also think in Libya and Syria, closer to the Turkish position and not on the Russian position. I think we should actually align our positions on this two countries which were part of the Ottoman Empire, and they have the Turks probably know much better what's going on in Libya and in Syria than we, to be honest. The French had a very dangerous and very tragic and toxic influence on Syria, and in Libya the Italians have only made genocide, and have done nothing good for Libya ever since they have invaded in 1911 and created so much havoc. So I think actually we should align closer with Turkish foreign policy views in Syria, not in the Turkish, in the Kurdish area though. But you know my opinion on Syria, I'm for division. And also for Libya, I think new states, it's much better than the current dictatorships. But maybe in Libya there will be some peace agreement now, I'm reading. But in Syria, I'm totally for division. When you will ask me why I'm not for division, and that's the concept they say often, this is Taksim. Taksim is the idea. And I'm against Enosis and Taksim. Enosis, the Anschluss, Taksim, the new state of Northern Cyprus and Turkish. That's all completely out of the question for that. Because it is not, you know, we are not living in the 1960s. It's not that ethnic violence will be tolerated in Cyprus as a EU member state. There is nobody in from the Turkish majority in the north and minority in the south to have anything to fear from a Greek-dominated southern Greek republic in Cyprus, or in the case of a federation. They, you know, if anybody commits kind of hate crime, obviously that's to be reprimanded from the police of Cyprus. If the Cypriot police doesn't do that, because then they have to be changed. You know, we are not in the 1960s. We are in the European Union. And I'm confident that also the Cypriot authorities see it exactly like I say. This will be the same like in Kosovo today, where the Serbs as a minority live in peace and security. And if some incident happens, as recently there was somebody beaten up, then it's a major political scandal. Yeah. And it's not, there is no state-sanctioned violence against minority in Kosovo. And I'm confident there is nothing like this in Cyprus. And there will be not in the future. Because that's not what we do in the European Union. And we are serious about it. So what I want to say is, we have to, all the instruments for peace in Cyprus. And it's so clear and it's so logically. I'm sure the Americans and the Germans can send some good constitutional lawyer to find the agreement. And we don't need, with all respect to the great statesman Kofi Annan, we don't need some kind of fast Kofi Annan plan which under some pressure. No, this is exactly the German constitution. or, you know, you, with some variations, you can always adopt it according to the situation. But the principles are very clear. And this is exactly NATO membership, nothing else. And this is exactly also to hand back the British bases. There are two British bases on the island. That's in 2021. No, they will be returned in the moment of signature of the NATO accession. And they will be completely sovereign, integrated into the new federal state of Cyprus, NATO member, and obviously in the euro. And they will be then leased back, I think, the best not to the UK, but directly to NATO. And then the Cypriot government will get a leasing fee for this on an international agreed standard. And then we put some nice NATO Middle East Command or East Mediterranean Command there. Obviously, they are great installations, so that's good for NATO to have such a Mediterranean education center or whatever kind of headquarter they want to build. Some part of Naples can go there, or from the US Sand Command can go there. It's a wonderful location. The soldiers will love it. It's good for the economy, all year business. And it's for the UK taxpayers, you know, you're not anymore a superpower to need such kind of, I dominate the Middle East and the Suez Canal. This is now for NATO to in a way, Europeanize or NATO-nize, if ever you want to call it like that. But, you know, to collectivize, no, that's not a good word. But nevertheless, it's for the whole Union, for the whole alliance to carry this cost of having this base, also to pay for it, but also then to use it as an alliance for possible interventions further towards Syria. You never know. And also to make sure that there is security and the power protection potential of these bases, but also on a deal where they are part of this NATO member, and also there is a decent compensation for the Cypriot state for leasing this tax, these two bases to the alliance where Cyprus is also a member. And I think that's a much further and much better way to do it than our current situation. Yes, and that's my peace plan for Cyprus. And I think it's much better than any other plans I've read now recently, seen and listened to. And I think we should not have the UN on that one. We should do that ourselves. We are European Union, NATO. This is a relatively small regional conflict, a complicated one between our members. And we are all in one collective defense situation. And having the UN in that one, and when the UN is anyhow overstretched and so much to do, and via the UN, the Russians and Chinese, and then all this kind of playing each other out, I think that's completely wrong. So off to Brussels all together now, and let's get this fixed, and let's get Cyprus in NATO. And I think there is no obstacle for that but our own incompetence and our own internal divisions, and basically that we anyhow should settle a bit, and if we want to be more successful. And I think that is a good closing point. Let's be more successful together in NATO and in the EU. And what can we give to, I have still, you know, a little bit, 2 minutes. Yeah, okay. I say also what we can give the Turks is obviously not EU membership. That's impossible. I'm sure some of them would like it, but this is not feasible. But we can do the currency pack of the lira to the euro. And that is exactly what Turkey actually needs now, very fast, to stabilize the Turkish lira and also to support Turkey financially more. Also to transfer the headquarters of the OSCD into Istanbul, also as part of this reset with Turkey. And also to give Turkey a big role in the Eastern Partnership, in the enlarged Eastern Partnership, where also Central Asia and all the members of the Turkish Council, this is important for Turkey, they are also a member, and that we also do this Eastern Partnership, base that Eastern Partnership in Istanbul together with the OSCD. And that would be, I think, a big kind of blocks together with the currency, the economic thing, obviously, where also Turkey should see the light and come back to the Western world and to a full member of our alliance, and then settle also the Cyprus thing, get Kosovo into partnership for peace as a goodwill sign, and Cyprus as well. And I think in that context, I think peace in the East Med, and everybody should get very rich. That's really perfect. Find a lot of oil, a lot of gas, but don't send any French ships anywhere close. You know, just, you know, European kind of agreement, a European agency for gas exploration and sharing the benefits and pay back all the debts you have all and somehow get rich together and stay peacefully united. I think that's my hope, at least, and I think it's absolutely doable. And I wonder why we're not doing it, actually. Yeah. So nevertheless, good luck with the UN talks, but I think that we can really do ourselves. Thanks a lot for listening, for peace in the Eastern Mediterranean, and for Cyprus to be united in NATO. Thanks a lot for listening.